Well, it's here. Okay, guys, you got all your gifts picked out, right? I'm not worried about the ladies. They always take care of that. They're planners. They're ahead. Guys, it's us. We're the ones that, you know, this is Christmas Eve. This is your last chance this afternoon, I guess, you know, if you want to try that. I'm actually done, but I only have to do one, so that's pretty good. I'm okay with that. But as I think about this today, there's so much that can be said. I mean, where do you go? I mean, this is a time of the year that's very familiar. We've all heard Luke 2 a million times, and we know it. And I just want us to kind of look at an identity of who Jesus is in John 1. It's a little different. In the gospel narratives, two of the gospels actually have the birth narrative in them. But Mark and John, neither one of them have those in it. And John, though, starts his gospel off a little bit differently, and we're going to take a look at that here in just a few moments, about telling us exactly who Jesus is. And I think as we think about that the incarnation and all that that truly means to us, hopefully this will empower and just encourage us and remind us not only of the significance of the holiday we're going to celebrate tomorrow, but what this means to us as followers of Jesus Christ. So go ahead and turn in your copy of God's Word. And if you're able, would you stand with me as we read John 1, verses 1 through 18 this morning? Where'd it go? Okay, here we go. And I'm going to read out of a different version than usual this morning, out of the Christian Standard Bible, as the Lifeway version. That was kind of interesting the way there's the take on it. He says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through Him, and apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light, and the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was created through him, and yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own people did not receive him, but to all who did receive him, he gave the right to be children of God. To those who believe in his name, who are born not of natural descent, or of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him and exclaimed, 'This is the one of whom I said, the one coming after me ranks ahead of me because he existed before me.' Indeed, we have all received grace upon grace from his fullness. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The one and only Son, who is himself God, and is at the Father's side, he has revealed him." Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the testimony of the apostle as he writes this out for us, the faithfulness of which he communicates such deep and powerful truths to us. And Father, as we think of Christmas, it's more than just a holiday. It's the changing of the world, the transformation that comes when you intervene in your creation in ways that are hard for us to fully fathom and understand and truly make a difference in our lives, not just in those of us in this room, but in the world from then and to the ends of time. And we thank you for it. I pray you'll bless this time and use me as your vessel to faithfully communicate your word to each of us, your people today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There's a lot of things on television and the internet these past few weeks about who Jesus is. A lot of interesting videos, and you will find as you watch some of those videos, which you may have, some people are just really stupid. Let's be honest. Some people get it, but some people are looking at it from a lens, a perspective that doesn't quite fit because they, one, don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They may not even believe in God at all, and yet they made a video about Jesus. I've never really understood why they wasted their time on that. But anyway, and there are some that get it, but what I want us to focus on today is who he is. I think it was really interesting. I wonder what it was like, you know, at that manger that night when he came, and the first people that, other than Mary and Joseph, that know there's something different about this child are who? The shepherds. Now, I know it's hard for us to fully fathom where shepherds rank in our culture because we don't have shepherds much, but in that part of the world, in ancient Palestine, there was a class system, and there was everybody else, and then somewhere way, way down here were shepherds, because they lived with sheep and other, they lived out in the fields. They really, weren't people you really wanted to bring into your house, because they lived with animals, and they weren't people that really counted. Oftentimes, people who ended up being shepherds, oftentimes they didn't choose to be shepherds. It was something they kind of fell into because there was nothing else for them to do. And yet, these are the very people that the creator of all the universe, God himself, decided he needed to reveal the coming of the Messiah to. And I don't believe that was an accident. I believe it was by choice that God did that. And God reveals that incredible truth and lays that at the feet of these men who are out in the field. And you've seen 1,000 portrayals of that. I just want to encourage you. I found a video on the web. Yes, it's actually a good video. It's called The Chosen. Find it at vidangel.com. If you want me to ask me about that later, I will tell you the site because it's kind of hard to find. But it's a video basically about the birth of Jesus from the perspective of the shepherds. And it really kind of helped me see something I've seen 1,000 times, it seems like, in my life from new eyes. The significance of this child, we cannot overemphasize. I would dare say millions of sermons have been preached on this topic, maybe more. You've probably felt like you've heard a million sermons on it. And you've heard a lot of people speak about it, and that's good. And what I'll share with you today is not original. It's not unique. There's nothing really dynamic about what I'm sharing other than the powerful truth that is laid out for us in Scripture about who this child is. Unlike any other child that has been born, he is different. And John, and I wanted us to kind of camp out a little bit in John 1 today is because John lays it out for us. He wants us to understand fully. Some have said, well, Jesus never said this about himself. He never said that. Jesus said a lot of things about himself, and he did say he was God's son. He did say that more than once, in case some people didn't quite catch it. It's there in the Scriptures. But John wanted his people to understand. This is the last of the Gospels written, probably written around 90 AD when John wrote this, 85 to 90 AD, before he would write Revelation, obviously. He wrote this text, and he lays out a theological truth here that's very powerful and very poignant for us, isn't it? And he begins it in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, he doesn't mean that in a past tense sense. He's trying to emphasize. That's one of the struggles of English. In English, we have present, past, future, right? You can have perfect present and all that, but sometimes we have to use different words. But basically, the implication of the Greek here is it's not a past that's past. It's a perfect past. It's a past that began and continues on. It is a truth that is eternal, is what John is emphasizing here. In the beginning was, he always has been. There was no beginning with him. He really has always been. Now, for me to wrap my little mind around that is hard. I have trouble grasping that, but I know it's true. There was a baby born in a manger. That is Jesus coming to earth, but Jesus always has been. He always is. He is God. He is, part of the triune God, and I don't fully grasp that, and neither do you, and that's okay. But God is all those things. And this Son of God is now in the world. At the very beginning of all that is, Jesus is there. He's not an innocent bystander just watching from the back. He's not a little kid. He is God. He is there watching what's going on and participating in it. He is an active part of creation. You are here because of what he did. That's who Jesus is. He is God. He is just as much God as the Father, as the Holy Spirit. He is the eternal God of the universe, the Ancient of Days. He is all those things and more than I can possibly say in the time that I've been given. Or even if I had 1,000 years to speak, I could not fully communicate who he is. But know this, he is God. He is the I Am. And to think about that God would send his son, himself, literally come into this world for us. I can't fully figure that out. Except it was love, obviously, for his creation, for us, that caused him to do that. And I am eternally grateful for his willingness to come into this world in spite of all the things and the dangers that awaited him, all the struggles that would happen, all the misunderstandings, all the things that he would endure. He came regardless because of his great love for us. This child came for us. And I love, that's right. And I love what John says in verse 4, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. In verse 5, that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will never, ever overcome it, because the light is unquenchable, because it is the light of God, and Jesus is the light. He says that in another text, I believe in chapter, in the same book, in John 8, he says, I am the light of the world. I am the light. And I think if there has ever been a day on planet Earth when we need the light, it's today. We need the light of the world. We need his presence. We need his guidance. We need his direction. We need his power at work in us as his people and in our world in general. Our world and many in our world are searching for answers, trying to find why they're here. What's the reason? And we search everywhere, and it's kind of hilarious in some ways and yet sad at the same time. They'll believe just about anything anybody else says except what's said in the Word of God. Have you noticed that? We'll believe everything that some crackpot person out here writes a book about and says, this is the way it was. And they might have three letters behind their name, but you know what that means. You know what PhD means? This is a friend of mine who has one. Says it means piled higher and deeper. That's what it means. That's a joke, okay? Not serious. I'm going to go to, yeah, whatever. But the reality is, all of that is great, and it means nothing in light of the one who knows more. Imagine what kind of degree God would have. How many letters would he have behind his name? You think more than three? Of course, really, he doesn't need any letters. I mean, when you are God, when you're it, you're the one, you're the eternal, the all knowledge, he possesses all knowledge, all power, all ability is all wrapped up in this one. What do you say to that? Nothing you can say to that. Our response isn't to say anything but to worship is what our response is. Because he is worthy of worship. And that's who Jesus is. Jesus is God. Jesus is literally God, he says, is what John is trying to say. And he's the light of the world. And he goes on and he talks about John. And I've talked a little bit about John in the past, John the Baptist, and just Jesus' cousin. I just love saying that because that just sounds nice. You know, it sounds cool. You know, I've got cousins. None of them are the Son of God, I guarantee you. Or none of them are even like John the Baptist. They're kind of out there, most of them. Like me, we're all kind of out there. And yet, Jesus' cousin was John the Baptist. And John's role in all this story is incredibly important. He's called the way preparer. He's the one that makes people know and helps them know that the Messiah is coming. He's telling everybody, Messiah is coming. He is about to be here. And this is what he'll be like. And he's preaching and teaching about them. You need to turn from your sin and you need to be repent and be baptized. And that was the purpose of that baptism. It wasn't a saving baptism, but it was a demonstration that you were surrendering your life to God and you were wrong. And by being baptized, you were turning your life over to God and you were immersing yourself in that new life that God had for you. And that was the purpose of John's baptism. That was the purpose of his message. Repent, for the Messiah is at hand. And he did that faithfully. And he had a creative diet because he lived out in the wilderness. And he dressed a little different than everybody else. And people flocked to hear what this man said. And yet he was just the preparer of that way, it tells us. He was trying to make the way smooth, to make the way available so people would be listening. Their spirits and hearts would be attentive. Their minds would be open to what God was about to do. Because God has always, in his perfect timing, had prepared the way for his son through John. And then he goes on. In the next part of this text, he begins to describe more who he is. That he, as John describes him, as the true light that gives light to everyone in the world. In verse 10, he was in the world was created through him, and yet the world didn't recognize him. And do you find that strange? You imagine what it was like. I mean, I'm just trying to wrap and think about this. Jesus is God, the one whom the temple was created to honor in Jerusalem, the one they built and spent all that time, energy, money, resources, the one that they had always worshiped. He's standing in the temple, and they don't see it. In one of the synagogues, it tells us in the Gospels that he goes up and he reads from that famous text about who the Messiah is, and then he tells them all these things about that's going to happen. He reads the text, and then after he reads it, he lays the text down, and he says, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And people say, well, Jesus never said, oh, yes, that's exactly when he said he was the Son of God, because that's what that text was about, the Messiah. And he said, today is fulfilled. Today I am here. And the priests and those who heard it knew exactly what he said and weren't very happy about it. Wouldn't you think they'd have been happy about it? I mean, the Messiah is here. Here he is. But he wasn't what they were looking for. He wasn't what they expected. He didn't have the white horse and the armor. There wasn't an army behind him. It wasn't all that they were hoping for. It was just this carpenter son from Nazareth. I mean, really? Nazareth? Nothing good ever comes from Nazareth. That's a saying in the day. I mean, Nazareth was kind of like, you don't want to go there. That's where you go when you have nowhere else to go. And yet that's where Jesus came from. You see how God does these things? Kind of the connection that he has. He's always going to the places that we think he shouldn't be. That's where he is. He comes from those places that we think nothing good can come from. But that's what he does because he is God and he will do exactly what he desires. And his heart and desire and love is for you. And he's going to go to wherever he needs to go to be where you are to draw you to himself because he loves you. And that's what Jesus did for us. Came from humble birth. You know, I was born in a hospital, as where I'm assuming most of you. I've seen a cattle trough. I was not when I saw one, I was too big to lay in it. I didn't want to lay in it anyway because I'd seen a cattle trough. You've seen it, you know what I mean? Not exactly the place you want to be. And yet our Savior, the Son of the living God, was born in a cattle trough, in a manger. In a out-of-the-way place with sheep and goats and cattle around. You know, imagine what it smelled like? And yet that is where the Son of the living God was born. And so much about him can be said, more than I can possibly say in the brief time that I have, more than we could all say if we all spoke in the time that we're allotted on this earth. But we are called to glorify and exalt him. We are called to demonstrate our love for him. As it says here, as John testifies, let me go on another text here. He's talking about who he is. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Why did God do this? Why would he send his son here? I mean, I've got to think heaven's pretty cool. I'm going to believe it's a whole lot better than here. Would you agree with me? I mean, and he's got everything. And he comes here. And he comes to an out-of-the-way place. Do you understand how out-of-the-way Bethlehem was? I mean, I said Nazareth was nothing good. So Bethlehem was a nothing town. Now, within walking distance, a half day's walking distance was a large community, got very metropolitan, had a lot of different things where everybody else lived. But, you know, if you really had nowhere else to go, I guess you'd go live out here. And that's where Jesus was born. And Nazareth was a place where he was raised where, you know, if you really want to get away from everybody else, that's where you go live. And out of all that, out of that out-of-the-way place, out of that place that seemed to have no significance, no purpose, not a place that was probably found on most maps, not a place anybody really cared about, the Son of the living God was born, was raised, came to grow and understand, and began his ministry there. And in God's perfect timing, in the Father's perfect plan, that's how it all begins. And as you celebrate here tomorrow, and you're going to celebrate in a variety of ways. We're going to open gifts. And you know where that comes from, right? That comes from the wise men, which happened 2 years later. Okay, it did not. I'm sorry. I hate to mess with the little drummer boy because I love the little drummer boy. But the wise men weren't there. They were not at the manger. They come later, and that's okay. But they brought gifts. And each of those gifts have significance. And I'll let you look at that later. You can study that on your own. There's a lot of better Bible teachers than me out there that can communicate all the different significance of what that means. But that's why we give gifts. And you'll give gifts and you'll have a great meal. And I don't know where that comes from. That's got to be American, right? Because anytime we get together, we got to eat. And so we get together, we'll have a great meal. You have a wonderful, I pray you have a wonderful time with your family. As many of your extended families can get together. Yep. And you're going to have a great time. And you do that as to remember what this is about. And I remember why we do it. We don't just do it because there's a holiday, December 25th, and we have to celebrate. We do this to remember the one who came for us. And verse 14 is the linchpin of this entire text. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. The eternal God of the universe, the creator of all that is, the almighty, powerful one, the ancient of days, all those different titles that are rolled into Him, became flesh, became a baby, so we could know Him. So He could make a way for us. And in the shadow of the manger always is the cross. That's why He came. That was the purpose of His came. So it was really fitting in a way that He was born in a manger, because lambs live in mangers often. That's where you find them. And He was the Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb for you and for me, the one-time sacrifice for our sin that made everything right between us and our Maker. The only one that could do what He did is Jesus. No one else could do that. We couldn't die enough deaths to make ourselves right with God. We couldn't suffer enough to make our way between Him right. But Jesus, in one act, changed everything, and it begins in a manger. Isn't that wild? This is the beginning of God's kingdom. A lot of times we like to think of the kingdom of God, we think about it in the future sense, we think about it, you know, in the book of Revelation, it's going to happen at the end. Yes, it will be fulfilled in all its fulfillment, but it begins when the Son comes into the world. That's why they call this season Advent. It is the advent of the coming of the King. The King is here. The King has come. His reign has already begun in the hearts and lives of the people who serve Him and follow Him and love Him. And ultimately that reign will extend to all of the world. Because the scripture also says later that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the God the Father. Everybody will. Everybody will see it. Now, as we've said before, your choice is to do that now or to do that on the other side of life, the other side of glory. I'd rather do it now. You're a whole lot better off if you do it now in this life. It's not such a good thing to be having to force to be do it. It's kind of, you know. Anybody like to be forced to bow? Not fun. We used to play a goofy game as kids where we'd do that, you know. I think they called it uncle. You remember that? Grab your hands and make you get on your knees. It'll be a whole lot worse than uncle for some. These people that mock Him, that say He's nothing, will one day stand before Him in inescapable reality that He is exactly who He proclaims to be. This child is not just a baby. This child is the Son of God. He is God in flesh. Wow. And that's what you celebrate tomorrow. It's what we celebrate. We celebrate the King has come into the world. And it still will always, forever mystify me how the only people that really got it and understood it when it actually happened in history were the shepherds. They got it. Yeah, the angels came and told them, go. Now, can you imagine, have you ever been in a dark place, in a dark field out in the open country? I mean, real dark, not dark in the city. There's city dark and then there's country dark. You know what I mean? Those are two different kinds of dark. City dark's dark, but country dark is completely different. When there are no street lights for tens of miles and you're out there in the middle of literally nowhere and it's dark, I mean, it's dark. And you imagine the angels, some angels of God coming in the lights of heaven. You imagine what that was like in that moment for those guys? Think that was a little scary? I think the Bible doesn't tell us all that probably happened. I'd have been freaking out if I'd have been with them. I'd have been trying to hide and run. I don't know what. I'd have just been scared to death. And that's why angels always say, what do they always say when they show up? Don't be afraid. Fear not. They have to say that. Because if they don't say that, you know you're in trouble. And the shepherds got it, didn't they? And he sends the shepherds, he says, we're going to tell you what to see. You go, and you're going to find the child wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You're going to see this. You're the first to go see it. And they go. And they see it. Now, I don't know if any of those men had ever been to synagogue and heard that taught, probably not that much. They might have heard a little bit about the prophets of Jesus, that these were all, a lot of these things had already been spoken of in the Old Testament prophets. I don't know how much they knew or didn't know. It's really not the issue. But what we do know is that when they saw, they believed, and they were overwhelmed, and they worshiped. And I'm not sure even Mary fully grasped at that moment all that was taking place. But I think she began to catch a glimpse that this was exactly what the angel told her. Never let the wonder of this event escape your mind. We see a lot of spectacular stuff, we think, in the world. It's spectacular, it's great, and it kind of goes and, you know, well, that was cool. You know, we could go around the room and list the different things we've seen that have amazed us, that have overwhelmed us, and this is beyond any of that. This is a moment in time, in eternity. This is a moment that changes the scope of life itself for everyone on this planet. It is the apex of history. It's why our calendar is the way it is, right? Everything, whether it's right or wrong, exactly, that's not what I'm getting into. And I know it may be a little off, whatever, huh? Who cares? But the reality is it all is to begin with the birth of our Savior. That's the coming of the King. And you're going to celebrate that. And so am I with our families. That the child that has been born to us is the Son of the living God and welcomes us now into the Father's kingdom. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the faithfulness of the apostle. And the identity of your Son is so clear in Scripture, and yet so hard to grasp sometimes for us, at least for me. And I'm so thankful that you try to make it as simple as it possibly can so that even I can get it. And Lord, I just pray that if there's one here today that has not come to that knowledge of that reality and that truth, that you have come for us and that you are the Savior of all who receive you, that today would be the day. Can't think of a better day than Christmas Eve. That's a great day to do it. But Father, I pray you bless this time as we gather and sing praises to you. But Father, that if there's one here today, they'd be drawn to you. Use this time in whatever way you desire, for you are Lord of all, and you are definitely Lord of these moments. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.